I'm Ava Hartling. Welcome back to the Brand is Female podcast. There's not that many women who choose to be architects. In fact, the profession is male dominated. This week, we're exploring the intersection of design, community, and sustainability with two inspiring women who chose to be architects and who are reshaping the built environment. Tina Ranieri Dovidio and Hagit Weisman are the founding principals of Ward 99 Architects, a firm known for creating award-winning public spaces that reflect the diverse communities they serve. With decades of experience and a shared passion for sustainable, people-centered design, Tina and Hagit are proving that architecture can be a powerful tool for connection and for change. Let's dive into their story.
This season of our podcast is brought to you by TD Bank Group Women in Enterprise. TD helps women in business achieve success and growth through its program of educational workshops, financing, and mentorship. Visit thebrandisfemale.com/podcast and follow the link to find out how TD can help you.
Hagit and Tina, it's a pleasure having you on The Brand is Female today. I'm so glad you're finding time to speak with me. And I like to start these conversations by diving into my guests' past a little bit to get to the origin story of your journey. So I want to ask each of you, growing up, what kind of future career were you envisioning? What kind of future profession were you dreaming of? And was it at all connected to what you're doing today? Or was it something completely different?
And I didn't grow up in Canada. So growing up in the Middle East, I'm not sure I envisioned 100% what I wanted to do in my future, but I was always drawn to arts and sciences. So always kind of geared towards something more creative. Architecture seemed like the right sort of combination. I had an aunt that I admired. I watched on sites. She was an engineer and an architect. And I think she had a lot of influence on me with regards to what I wanted to do in my future. She was a very tough woman, very strong. And I think I was drawn to that. My parents were always softer, sort of more very warm and loving people, but didn't have that kind of ambition and motivation that I maybe saw in my aunt. So I think I admired that, and maybe that helped that the direction that I took, I think, was a little bit skewed by sort of growing up around her and watching her and what she did and admiring that.
Love that. What about you, Tina?
Similar. So I grew up in Canada. My aunt was a doctor, so I had that strong female role model. But similarly, I was always drawn to the arts and maths and sciences. So I was teeter-tottering between like a career in medicine or architecture and engineering. But I couldn't let go of the creative side, and I thought I couldn't find that in medicine. So I geared right towards architecture since the age of 16, to be honest. So I knew from then, I got my first, don't date me, my first drafting table at 16.
Wow. Wow.
Nobody uses now. They're ancient. But from then on, I think I knew what I wanted to do.
There's less women than men in, you know, the architect's profession. And the stats, the most recent stats I could find from 2023 show that, you know, it's around 33% of architects in Canada who are women. Hagit, in your case, there was a role model in your family. You knew someone in the profession, but were the two of you, you know, aware and like did it make sense for you to picture yourselves as architects, or did that happen a little bit later in your journey and throughout your studies?
So I think for me, my family was dead against it. They thought architecture for women is not the way to go. It's a very tough profession for women. Women aren't respected or appreciated in the construction industry. My aunt was a very tough woman, and I wasn't necessarily that. So they didn't really see that parallel.
She's great.
But my brother went into medicine. So it's funny that Tina's second choice was medicine. My family always hoped that I would fit in that direction and follow my brother's footsteps. But I was very stubborn. And like Tina said, I needed that creative outlet, and architecture was going to be a better fit. So that's kind of what drew me to the profession, I think, was the creative aspect of it as well. But no, I wouldn't say that my family wanted me to pursue it. Even though I had the role model and the example in the family, it did the opposite. It was almost like, look at how hard she has it. Look at how hard she works. Go in a different direction. Like, you don't need this. Get a nicer, sort of easier life where you don't have to deal with stresses and all of the other items that go along with the profession. They did see that and didn't want me to pursue it, but I think I have to kind of do it my way. So that's sort of point. And I proved them wrong. Still working really hard to keep proving ourselves. I think that Tina and I are on a mission of some sort.
We don't give up. That's our problem.
Yeah, right.
I think that's a quality. When did the two of you meet, and when did the idea of working together happen?
Oh, the love story. It was the summer in 1994.
You met in architecture school.
Yeah.
We spotted each other that first year. And it was summer, actually. Just before school started. And we bonded and sort of had each other's back all through school. After school, we went our separate ways. We were working for different firms and kind of did our own paths separately within architecture. And then at some point, Tina started kind of like elbowing me when we would meet up for lunches, going, so what do you think of us working together? Then I actually had left the firm I was working with at the time to join the firm Tina was at, a principal, and sort of they were looking for succession planning in that company and decided that I would potentially be a good fit for Tina and I to take over that firm. So we did do that, and I did leave the other firm I was with to join. But years into that experience, we realized that the men that were in charge of that firm were never going to really let that succession happen. There was too much reluctance to actually give up that control. So eventually, her and I just parted from that firm and decided to open up our own company. Got tired of all the empty promises.
So how long have the two of you been working together now? How long has the firm been open for?
So Ward 99 Architects, we've been around now for
2 years
almost.
2013.
Yeah. 2013 was when we founded the company. So it's now been about 12 years.
Of that. Yeah. And did you, you've made reference to kind of the culture, you know, inside the firm that you were working at previously. So was there a desire to also build a different type of culture for your company? And, you know, you're two women at the helm, obviously, and kind of helping rewrite the narrative around women in architecture. Because I think, you know, stats that I was reading too, even with the 33% of architects in Canada being women, if we look at the number of architecture firms having women at the helm or being founded by women, that number obviously goes down. So, you know, you're both CEOs or owners and founders of a firm, you're both architects. So you're really kind of defying the odds in a very male-centric space. So wondering about that type of culture that and the type of values that you're bringing into your company today and probably the legacy that you hope to see for women who choose to become architects.
I think that was the main drive. I think that we had experience. I mean, we've been practicing for over 20 years and had experienced multiple situations where women were sort of overlooked for projects or roles where they felt our male counterparts would be better suited. Or there's definitely a ceiling, I think, when it comes to women in architecture and
feeling. And you're viewed differently. We were both
young,
married, and we had gotten married. The other firm, I'd had my first child. I did not take maternity leave. Kept working, and there was little slight judgments coming back from certain people in the firm, even though I was working probably harder than people. I felt I had to prove myself and there because I was in a senior position, and I still couldn't, you know, overcome those questioning of, was she really working? You know, she has a child now, is that gonna she work? And in our firm, we don't, right? We want people to be able to balance. Not to say that we don't have late nights, which probably this week is an example of that. People, you know, the team pulls together, but we try and do so collaboratively. You know, if people need time off, we accommodate.
Yeah, we do flexible schedules, so people come in earlier, leave earlier. People take time. You need time with their families or appointments. And we ourselves sometimes have to leave by a certain hour to go pick up the kids, to spend an hour setting up the family with family life. And then we jump back on the computer and we continue working.
And that's okay. If it works, it works. And it does.
Yeah.
Flexible schedules that work better for women's lives, basically, which seems very common sense. And what do you think you bring to your role as women? And I'm sure this is something that shows up in conversations that you have with clients, or some clients at least. And have you seen kind of a change over the years in terms of that dynamic between, and I'm sure there's, you know, we can't put everybody in one box, but from the client's perspective, for some of them, you're probably just the best architecture firm that they're choosing for their project. With some, there might be a desire to support a woman-led company. So just in terms of that dynamic between clients and partners that you work with versus what do you think you bring to the table in terms of being women architects and women at the helm of your firm, and how do you feel it's received and has that changed over time?
So within our own firm, I think we're very supportive of mentoring women in the field. And we do have ongoing co-op students that we bring to the office. We hire them for their co-ops. We don't exclusively hire women, but we find that we get a lot of young female applicants, partly because they're drawn to the fact that it's unusual, especially in Toronto, to have a female-founded and operated firm. Like, there's two of us and it's not a sole practice. We're a medium-sized firm. And I think it's encouraging, it's empowering for them to see that it's possible. Because as you said, when we grew up and went to school, it was very unusual. You didn't have that many female in principal roles, especially companies that were strictly run by women like that. I never worked in. I did have firms where there were female principals, but they kind of had to work their way to that position because it was very male dominated at the time that we graduated and we were at school. So it is very for us to mentor the young women, to empower them, to make them feel like this is a viable career option for them, that they don't have to worry about the fact that, you know, they can't have families, they can't have children. You can learn to sort of work around that and make it still work. There was definitely a stigma with women in the profession, and a lot changed with the Me Too movement, because I think prior to the Me Too movement, there was a lot of sort of harassment in offices with women and on site.
Right.
Like, cool. When I think about the stuff that was happening at school, on sites and offices, like, you'd hear all kinds of stories. We experienced stuff ourselves from professors or from we worked with, from clients on sites,
GCs,
like getting all sorts of inappropriate comments and gestures. A lot of that has stopped after the Me Too movement. I think it's become a lot more politically correct.
It still happens.
It still happens. Yeah. Not like you're showing up on site and there's like posters of naked women on the walls. And
that was my first construction.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. So things have definitely changed in a positive direction. And I think a lot more young women are coming into the profession, maybe because of that. So it's important for us to sort of empower that generation and make them feel comfortable and supported and mentored. And that is definitely something that we try to do on a regular basis in the office. And we're not shy about sort of promoting that we're a woman, a female founded and run company, and that we're in support of women, even though we do have men that work in the office.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think they feel slighted by the fact that we're supporting
majority women.
We are a majority female office, which is also very unusual in our
country. Good for you. Yeah.
Well, so that's sort of intentional for us.
And what do you hear from clients? And, you know, are there clients who choose you because you're women-led?
So I think the main comment that I always get is, thank you for listening. Because I think a lot of clients find, and I'm going to paint a picture that men don't listen, but I think a lot of clients, and they have told us this, that you listened to us first, and then you came back to provide. So whereas a lot of the time, even in presentation, and we've had this where we've joined with other firms, they find that some, you know, some architects who are male seem to speak first and then get a response back, as opposed to our way of working is, you know, asking them questions and allowing them to explain what they need, what their vision is, and for us then to respond. A lot of the times, and well, times is thank you so much for listening first.
I do think that there's relationships that are formed differently with clients when you're, some of our clients are women. So I think they appreciate dealing with other women in the profession where traditionally it is sort of a male counterpart that they're dealing with. But I wouldn't say that we necessarily get work because we're women. Like we go through a full proposal process when it comes to the larger projects, and we have to get on vendor lists in the same way that any other architect would have to get on vendor lists to be able to have an opportunity to even get projects. So, you know, we work with a lot of public sector municipal clients. So for them, there may be a slight advantage to us being a female run company because I think there's a diversity aspect to that. But I wouldn't say that it plays a huge role in us actually being able to secure work. But I think it's an important relationship builder because I think with the female clients that we have, I think it's nice for them to have other females on the other side of the table. Because traditionally you'd walk into a room, it's a construction project and it's all men. Like I would normally be the only woman at the table.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. I mean, now you walk into a room and it's nice to see women on the other side. I was the client where it was like, even 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. So we were always walking in and again, we're the only female.
Yeah.
It still happened.
Yeah.
I have a lot of projects where I'm still the only female in the room, but it's slowly changing and it's nice to see more women on the other side as well.
Sites, like it's nice even within the construction industry. So not just client base, but on construction sites, you're seeing more sort of project managers, even trades,
female engineers, which is nice.
So that's a nice sort of change to the profession for sure.
And how do you think we can get more women? And you've talked about the mentorship program and making sure you're supporting and inspiring that next generation. Looking at stats, and I think this is an issue overall in STEM, less women go to school in these fields, including architecture, that are traditionally male dominated. That number seems to be changing. Do you think it's about more representation? Do you think there's something else that can be done, you know, to inspire more women to think that, yes, they can too be a successful architect as a female and not be limited because they're women choosing that profession?
I think representation is huge. I think for younger women to see other women in those roles that they're aspiring to is very important. And again, we get that from the students that we have coming in. But it's really nice for them to see that there is a possibility of them running a firm one day. So I think that's important. I think that understanding that people's lives play a factor in how your career develops is an important thing. I think it's really for people to get a sense of some sort of security or safety and feeling that if they pursue architecture, that there are other alternatives, that it's not just one way, that it's not just going to be a traditional office necessarily, that it's just about having flexibility in the types of offices that are available for people to work at. I think for them to feel like they're supported and that somebody cares about their development, and that it's not like, oh, you're going to go and have a family and have children and that means your career is over. Because I think that's traditionally, I know for me specifically, when we opened up Ward 99, I had just gone engaged, and immediately the partners in charge, I think, felt a little bit like, oh, okay, young woman, she's getting married. At the other firm. So prior to founding Ward 99, I think Tina had just had the trial, then she came back and then I got engaged. And I think immediately it becomes a story in their head of, oh, well, she's going to go off now and have children, and we're not going to get that same level of commitment that we were getting from them, where, I mean, never changed our commitment to the work, to the project. Like, women can do it all. Like, we can juggle a career and family and children and pets and anything else that comes our way. We're jugglers. We're multitaskers.
Yeah. They have to.
Balance is balance. I think everyone, whether you're woman, male, everyone's struggling with balance, right? We struggle with balance.
Yeah, but, I do.
You know, if you have something that you're passionate about and you really want it to succeed, you find a way, right?
Yes.
It's not perfect, but I don't think it's perfect.
Yeah. Well said. Switching to the business side of things a little bit. So you're not only architects, you're also entrepreneurs, you know, owning, managing, growing your own business. What has that experience been? You made the switch from working for somebody else, opening your own firm. And have you found that, you know, has that been challenging? And if you had to describe kind of the major obstacles, I think outside of being women in the profession, but were there specific challenges, obstacles that you had to overcome in your first few years of doing business?
Huge learning curve. Because I think in our previous firms, they were very protective of sort of how the business was run and how things were getting handled internally to procure the projects, to actually run the company. Even though we were principals and associates within these firms, we had very little transparency to how the company was actually run and how you run a business. So
they don't teach that when we were going to school and from just listening to our interns and our college students and what they tell us, they don't really teach you how to run a business to the extent that you should know in terms of how to be an entrepreneur and run your own architectural firm, which I think is something they have to really improve on in schools. Because sometimes when we're you know, completing certain tasks and doing things to run the business, they're like, you have to do that. You're like, that's
private.
Yeah, and we're like, yes, it's not all pretty pictures. We're not sitting drawing. We actually have to do all the things to make sure everyone is accounted for and the firm is running smoothly and it has longevity, right?
Yeah. Have to keep getting the projects coming in, have to make sure everybody stayed. Like, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with running a business, regardless of whether it's architecture or not.
But it's fun.
Yeah, but it's definitely, we had to start everything from scratch because when we left the previous firm, it wasn't on amicable terms. We had to get on all the vendor lists ourselves. We had to build up our portfolio. We started off just Tina and I and about 14 people.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a growth component to that and learning how to manage the projects, but also run the business and allow for that growth to happen. We had to do it obviously incrementally because there's a lot of training that goes with anybody new that you bring into the company and having to teach them the way we like to run things.
So the whole time you have to dive in, which is the thrilling part, but I think our personalities match well with that. We're not adverse to risk and if you really believe in it and we believe in each other.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do this with anybody else. So
we're very fortunate that we met each other at school and we didn't know how well we would work together. We always knew we cared for each other and we were very good friends, but it's always hard to separate the friendship and that relationship from a business partnership and a relationship. Yeah. So we didn't know how that would translate. Our families were very supportive, our husbands, our kids. So that plays a huge role in being able to sort of start this from scratch and see the company grow. And I think we're very fortunate that not only did we find each other, but our families are also incredibly supportive of what we're doing and facilitate the fact that our lives are a little bit crazy because of our schedules and because of everything that we're juggling.
Long hours, which if you have a supportive system, it can crumble. We have each other, a great support system.
What would you say is your definition of leadership? I think as entrepreneurs, we're called to be leaders, whether we want to or not, right? I was having that discussion with an entrepreneur recently, and she was saying, it's like, as a female founder, you automatically become this role model for other people, whether you're meaning to or not, like you're taking on that role, especially in a field that's traditionally male dominated. But when it comes down to your own personalities, your own values, how would you define leadership?
There's a nurturing aspect to that. We're mothers. So we tend to sort of do the same thing in the office and people come in here with all sorts of personal problems. And, you know, you can have somebody that's like one of your most senior staff come in and they're like falling to pieces in the morning, and you just have to pull them into the office and take them off the clinics, you know, and kind of be a little compassionate and understanding and just making sure that they're okay as people first before you kind of worry about the project and the deliverables and the deadlines. Like, we're all humans. We all have good days and bad days. And it's essentially in a leadership role, your company is another family. How do you deal with that at home? You listen, you try to be there, you try to support people as much as needed, mentor and teach. Like, there's always ways to improve. I mean, we're learning and improving every day. We expect the same from our team. We need them to also continuously grow and improve. The hope is you bring somebody in and offer them opportunities for growth. Leadership is a mixture of compassion, understanding, and allowing somebody the potential to grow. Because at the end of the day, the best leaders are people that have an amazing support system. Great leaders are really made by their team.
The idea is that, and I always tell our interns, what do you need? What can I do so that you can get to the next level? If they're going through the internship program and they want to become architects, well, we turn around to them and say, how do I get you there? What do you need from us?
Exposure, just giving them opportunities for exposure to different kinds of things, I think is important for growth. Mm-hmm.
And in closing, what would be your top pieces of advice to women who are considering, you know, working in architecture and potentially starting a business in the field? What are, you know, a few things you'd like them to know and maybe things that you wished you knew when you started out and things you learned along the way?
Before you said that part, I was going to say, find a good partner.
Love that. And okay. Which one?
That's a very important one. But
I knew that.
I couldn't do this.
I knew that. Humans.
There is no ceiling. Ceilings are meant to be broken.
Break the crap out.
Just believe it. Don't believe it when people tell you that this is kind of where you could be. It's not true. You just have to have the drive and the ambition and push yourself, and you can make it happen. It's a question of not allowing others to place limitations on your abilities and on your dreams. You can have those dreams and pursue those dreams, and nobody can tell you that you can't run into the sunset as a two female run firm, which is what we were told
we couldn't do.
We were told that, you know, do you think that you could be two women running a company and run off into the sunset? And I'm like, yeah, I think we can.
And you're proving that it's possible. You're paving the way as you go.
Yeah. Fair enough. We're still trying to find that rest of the journey. There's still a lot more
ceilings to break.
Ceilings are there. Just don't stop breaking them. That's all.
And that was going to be my next question. Is there kind of a next milestone, or in this case, you know, the next ceiling that you're looking to break? And I'm assuming that goes hand in hand with the growth for your company.
There's always the next exciting project that we'd love to get and pursuing that. But I think for Tina and I, it's also finding that balance. I think that for the next chapter, aside from, because it's been, you know, over 10 years now, just push without stop. And I think we're now at a point where we can continue to push, but we have to learn how to sort of balance things a little bit more.
Yeah, we have to learn to rest. We don't know how to rest. Firstly, personalities, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's purely, or many women I speak to who run their own business have the same issue. I think that's plaguing many of us.
The self-care aspect just like goes out the window. That's the first thing that goes, because you want to worry about your family. You want to worry about office, like your staff,
each
other. Aging parents, unfortunately, become something that the next chapter is something we're going to have to deal with. So we have to learn to sort of, how do you manage all of that with everything else and then still keep growing and still
can I take our own advice, because we tell each other what we should be doing.
Yeah.
To self-care, but we don't really do it. So
yeah, it's always easier to give advice to somebody else than to apply it to ourselves.
Exactly. For sure. But yeah, having Tina in the room with me certainly helps.
I can tell you're a powerful duo together, and just, you know, watching the two of you sit together. So I love the synergies there. Well, it's been wonderful, Tina and Haggit, to hear about your journey and, you know, hear about the ceilings that you're breaking through. Wishing you all the best for the next ceilings that you're going to be breaking and the growth of your company. So we'll link
the website and all the ways to find you and for anyone who's interested in learning more or even working with you. And I'm so thankful that you took time out of your busy schedules this morning to speak with me.
We're so appreciative. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. Yeah, it's a great opportunity to sort of have a venue for female entrepreneurs to have this platform. So we're really appreciative and thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brand is Female podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you to TD Women and Enterprise for their support of The Brand is Female. You've got it in you to succeed. Let TD help guide you. Visit thebrandisfemale.com to learn more.